We're in a series of the Psalms called Be Refreshed. The Psalms are songs, and as they are songs, they are meant to be sung, and there's all different kinds. We're going to be looking today at actually tomorrow's Psalms as we're reading through a Psalm a day. Today's the 12th, tomorrow's the 13th. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 13 because it's something that spoke to my heart and something that I want to share with you in what I see in this Psalm. Psalm 13 is what I would consider a song of lament, right? A lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. It's passionate. It's about crying out to God. And through that, we pour our heart out to God. And through that, we come clean or transparent or vulnerable before God. It's for the purpose to be unburdened of what we're carrying, to be relieved, to be refreshed. Now, crying out to God is one of my favorite themes to minister to people in. And the reason is, to give you a little bit of my background, I grew up in a graceless church. They talked about grace, but they didn't show it. God was to be revered. God was holy, and so God was to be feared above all else. And so the grace that says, but he loves us, wasn't being shown to the people that were there. As a result, I grew up in a conflicted religion because it communicated God loves the world, and yes, God loves me, but it tied on a condition that if you follow, if you obey, sometimes God, sometimes the church authority itself. If you jump through our hoops, so it became a conditional religion. And a conditional religion teaches me to hide because God wouldn't accept me just as I am if I came with what I was struggling with, what I was questioning, and what my hurts and pains were. When I learned better, and then when I became a pastor later on, I felt it was my responsibility as well as my opportunity to teach and share with people that, like me, had to overcome bad theology to build a relationship with Jesus. Brand new. To rip down the things that were done in the name of Jesus, but not in the love of Jesus. See, to me, that's the definition of religion. And it shunts God's light. Rather, we need to shine God's light into the darkness, into the control of men, and sometimes our institutions as well. One of those lessons that I took to heart comes from the life of David. And the idea is I can come to God in my anger. I can come to God in my frustration. Even when it's pointed at God, I can vent to him. I can tell him. I can complain to him because David, a man after God's own heart, did it all the time. God already knows what you're feeling. And by sharing that, it draws and strengthens that relationship even stronger. Psalm 13 is one of these times that David shows us that. Psalms 13 starts with, how long, Lord? Let me just stop there for a minute. If there was ever a time for us to understand the lament and the cry of how long, Lord, it's now. How long will we be shut away from friends? How long will we be in this new, uncomfortable routine? How long will our lives be unpredictable? How long will we have to live with this fear of getting sick, of infecting someone else, of hurting others? How long, Lord? And it's that cry of David that hit deep in my heart. See, we're living in a season of lament. And as we look at the Psalms, we can identify with what David and the other psalmists are feeling, but we can also hear their cries and say, I feel that way too, or I have felt that way before. Then we can look to see how they were able to rest as God is their comforter, as their counselor, and their peace, and know that he is ours as well. Let's take a look at Psalms 13. I see Psalm 13 in three scenes. The first one goes from verse 1 to verse 3. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Another translation says, look the other way. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Another translation says, with anguish in my soul. Day after day have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God. Another translation says, turn to me. And after this scene of lament, the psalmist and David moves to a scene of hope. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. Another translation says, don't let them rejoice in my downfall. There's hope. There's hope in you, Lord. And then in this final scene, we see an expression of faith. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Another translation says, I will rejoice because you have rescued me. We see the different emotions that David's having here. We see the different scenes. If I was to paraphrase this psalm, I see it actually as three scenes, but multiple movements. The first is he's crying out and he's saying, you have forgotten me. You have turned away from me. Because he says, how long will you do this? So in the present tense, he's saying, I feel this, you have forgotten me. I feel you have turned away from me. And as a result, I'm wrestling with the anguish in my heart, in my soul, the sorrow, and my enemy is winning over me. So now, come back to me, God. Restore and renew me. Don't let my enemy win over me. Because even now, I trust in you. No matter what, I will trust in you. So I will sing your praises, for you have been good to me. That's how I see and read this psalm. You can feel David's pain. Is he complaining? Maybe. But more, he is crying out to his Lord. And since he is crying out to his Lord, it's worship. Well, why? Well, I see two big things about that. Lament, crying out to God, is worship, because bringing God our pain acknowledges the place he has in our life. You see, David knows God is in control of his life. So he brings his pain to his Lord. Think of it this way. You go shopping for a gift. You go from shop to shop to shop. You find just what you're looking for, just what your loved one wants. It's beautiful. You check it over. It's in good shape. And it's on sale. You go and you purchase it, you bring it home, you wrap it, you give it to your loved one, they love it, win, win, win. They wear it for a week and it breaks. It breaks and you think it's a simple repair. So you bring it to a jeweler in this case and they say, we can't repair it. It's not really built well. Just return it. It's only been a week. You go to return it. You explain the whole story to the clerk, the customer service person, and they say, oh, no, 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 no. You can only return it. No cash back. No store credit. You're frustrated. You're angry. You're frustrated about the whole situation. So what do? You ask to speak to the manager. If it's a small shop, you ask to speak to the owner. Why? You're looking to speak to the person in control. You're looking to speak to the person with the authority to do something about your situation. David goes to God because in David's life, God is in control. God is the one who can fix it or make it better. Hear this, church. By lamenting to God, David is showing that God is the author of his life. When we proclaim that God is in control, we are worshiping him. No matter what we're feeling, no matter what we're sharing. So here's a question for you. When you're frustrated, when you're angry, when you're sad, when you're in anguish or pain, who do you go to? Who do you talk to? Who's in control of your life? The second reason I see lament is worship, because it's bringing God, when we bring God our pain, it draws us closer to our Father. It's all about building a relationship. And a true relationship is sharing the good, the bad, and the ugly. In fact, intimacy in a relationship is about sharing your feelings and your fears. When you share your feelings, the things that you hold down deep inside, the real you, not the manufactured you. When we share our fears, those are the things that limit us, paralyze us, stop us, and hold us back. But when we share our feelings and our fears, it builds trust, it builds closeness, and it builds transparency. Trust, closeness, transparency. That's intimacy. If you are only sharing the good things in your relationships with others, with your loved ones, or with your Lord, then what you're communicating is you're not trusting them with the real you. And here's the thing. You will never know if they really accept you because they don't know the real you. They only know the manufactured you. We can spend so much time in trying to convince someone how we want them to see us, that we become exhausted, and yet we never let them in. And for some of you, you've learned that that's what your relationship to God is, that because God is up there and he is holy and he's righteous, and that's all true, and we're down here as sinful people, that big gap means I can't go to God until I clean up my life, do better, turn it around. That's bad theology. It's not true. And it's not of God. This has been a hard lesson for me to learn in my marriage of 33 years. To share it all, to learn how to share it all versus selecting what I want her to see, how I want myself to appear. So I filter my feelings and I hide my fears. I show a carefully constructed persona, afraid that if she knew me, the real me, she wouldn't accept me. It's taken years for me to trust someone enough to let them see me as I am. David's lament is communicating, Lord, I trust you. It says, but I trust in your unfailing love. David is communicating, Lord, I can be real with you. It says, how long will you forget me? I feel neglected. How long will you turn away from me? I feel rejected. Will I have sorrow in my heart? I'm hurt. David's lament communicates, Lord, you care for me. He says, give light to my eyes. Refresh me. In sharing his fears and his feelings, David is drawn closer to God. He says, I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Do you trust God enough to share the feelings you're hanging on to and the fears you're hiding from? If you want a real relationship with a real Savior who loves you, who cares for you, who died to rescue you, then take a chance. Share with Jesus what you really are going through, how you are really feeling, and then be quiet before him and enjoy being in his presence. Soak it in. Let it wash over you. Because here's the truth. Your relationship with God will only grow as deep as your intimacy with Jesus. We want that closeness, then we have to be vulnerable. We have to be transparent. I shared about my upbringing and how I had things to overcome in relationship to religion, in relationship to how I read the Bible. Counselor once asked me when my wife and I were getting counseling and said, Dan, how do you see the Bible? And without a minute, I said to him, a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts. Why was that? Because I hadn't experienced, lived in, soaked in his grace. What saved my faith and renewed my faith was coming face to face with God's grace to me. Coming face to face with his abundant love for me, and coming face to face with his never-ending mercy with me. Yes, it's a risk to be real, to be vulnerable. But Psalms 34 says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one that takes refuge in him. Taste and see, not just know and learn. Step out, take a risk, trust him, and then be blessed to know that you can take refuge in him and be refreshed.